Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting in with mothers and daughters around the world. Wow. Where do we get started? It has been a week. Just amazing. You know, sometimes you just don't know what to say. And when you don't know what to say, you just have to lean on the Lord. That's all I can tell you. It's just lean on the Lord. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
All is well. And yourself?
I'm good. Just thinking about everybody else, you know, with the devastations and people losing their homes. You know, it's really, if you have a heart at all, it just tears you up, you know. How y'all doing down there?
Well, we're pretty good. We didn't have nothing but a little wind and some minor tree branches. Here and there you got a tree now, but we're blessed.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I had to, I was actually just getting my coffee and my time ran out. It was like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Like, okay.
All right.
I ran back over there just to straighten that out. All we can do is say, thank God it ain't no worse, but it was devastating. So just been in prayer for everybody and the families. And I mean, we think that we have some issues and some problems, but when you look at people losing their whole house, just gone. You come back, the house gone, and the stuff gone. You know,
yes.
It's 10 feet or 10, not 10 feet, 10 miles down the road somewhere. That's just crazy.
Wow.
Boats then left the dock and ended up miles down the road in somebody's yard. You know, it's just so much going on. I just said, Lord, you know all about it. And we have to just lean on you. Lean on you. So your week was good?
Well, the week was an average week. You know, we had made some preparations in case, the storm came through. So my hours was, not as the whole 40. You know, 5 here and, you know, I actually was working when the storm came, and I messed around and went in there and started on a task, and you know how, you know, we get on something and we can't get off it, and when I look around, it been passing, going, I said, what the world? It done gone by. I I'm going home to say I'm getting ready for it and trying to get in the gate because, you know, I didn't want to be coming around with the gate in the rain because you got to open it and then get out and close it. We ain't had tech yet where you mash the button down the street and it open, you know? Yeah. We still with the old school, get your butt out, open it, get back in the car, get in, get back to the gate. Now, back then, we used to get a lot of exercise. Get out, open the garage, get up, turn the TV on, go turn this on, and turn the light on. Now it's clap, clap, slide, click, mm-hmm. everything. So,
mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I just wanted to get back. And then I realized, Debra, the storm gone. It done passed you like 3 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Mm. And, yeah, so, you know, I just keep those people in prayer, you know. And when I see the news and the gospel, Lord Jesus, just be with them. Don't let them lose hope in you, God. Don't let them be mad with you, God. Don't let them draw away, God. Just do what you do. However you do it, you do it because they're hurting. Some angry, some hurt, some mad, some saying, I'm blessed to be alive. And so we know that God is in control of everything. So we ask God now to mend those broken hearts and to make provision for those people that ain't even got an outfit to change clothes, you know. So, yes, if you've seen that and you don't feel nothing, you ain't got no heart, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that should touch the hardest of, you know, the people that see it or saw it. And so we're going to keep them in prayer that their spirits will be rejuvenated and they will be grateful for life and be patient with God to help them rebuild. And this brings us closer. You know, we have stuff like this. We draw closer to one another. We lean on one another. You know what I mean? So it's time for us to pull together and to help those people. And I'm looking to see how I could be a part of, you know, even some people that might just be local. Well, they got some donations going on online. So I'm looking to, you know, put a few dollars somewhere, something, you know.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to do the show or, you know, one time I said, you know, I just feel like I just need to be still today. You know, sometimes you just feel like you don't know what to do, just be still.
Okay.
Just be still. You know, Cynthia's not with us today, audience, and of course her cousin is bearing her son today.
Oh wow, I forgot about that. That is today.
Yeah.
And what city is she in?
They're in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the state, but it's in Alabama.
So they didn't get nothing. They didn't get nothing. They didn't have to deal with that and that.
Mm-hmm. I think I don't think they got nothing. Nothing but some rain, maybe. But just let's lift Cynthia up this morning with her cousin and her family.
Yes.
Father God, we just ask you to bless them, Father. Touch your heart, Father God. And I know, like I told, I said, you know, I don't know what to say, but I know that was her last child. And within 5 years, she's lost 2 sons. And Father God, I know she know that you love her, but, you know, it's hard sometimes when you look back and you're trying to figure out why it happened or where was he not protected? And, oh, God, Father, we just need you to touch us and let your love just blanket down upon us because we know it's not you. But, Father God, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to forgive us for all sins, all wrongdoings, all thoughts, evil thoughts, thoughts that's not pleasing to you, Father. Anything that we've done to open the door to allow Satan to come in and wreak havoc on your children, we ask you in the name of Jesus, Father, to forgive us as Jesus has said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And we don't. He knew when he said it. We don't know what we're doing. And we can do nothing without you, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this morning, Father, I humbly just humbly ask you for mercy. Just give us mercy this morning, Father. Every family, every human being on the face of the earth, we don't know. We just run around doing what we think is best without coming to you as our Father and asking permission and asking for help. And when we ask for help, we most of the times tell you what we want you to do. That's not asking for help. That's telling what we want you to do. So, Father, I just ask that you forgive us and that you would touch us and give us another chance to do good, to serve you better. In Jesus' name. Whew. Yeah. So, I'm not trying to make this a sad show this morning, but my heart is just like really, really heavy this morning. And, you know, Cynthia she took this thing really, really hard. She really did. I've never seen her in the state that she was in. And, of course, she's got some other stuff, I believe, up under that. But it was just devastating because they were there about 4 weeks ago celebrating the oldest son. She always celebrates her son's death and the year that he died, a date or whatever. And then 4 weeks later, now she's bearing the other son. You know, and can you imagine that, the contrast and what's going through her mind and just being able to process that? I'm just like, Lord, you know, you give her the strength. Give her the strength. That's the only way we get through anything, through the strength of Jesus. So anyway, that's been my week. Looking at the news a little bit too much, I think. I had to turn it off
1 minute because I was like 2 days into it. The day maybe a couple of days before, and you play it over and over and over and over, and just keep listening it. And
I've been really watching it and looking and praying, and I was like, Lord, I just got so engrossed into it till it just got into my spirit, and I just said, Lord, I had to just back away from it and check it, you know, later on in the afternoon or maybe that evening. And just, you know, because there's nothing you could do but pray. I was supposed to be in Atlanta today to receive an award. And Sisters Helping Sisters, and I had my plane ticket and everything. But when they were talking about the storm coming up through Charleston, you know, me flying out, I went to the Lord and I said, well, Lord, and so I was waiting to see if they canceled the flight. And and I said, well, Lord, should I go? And he said, no. And I thought, well, let me double check now to make sure. You know, flying is one thing for me. Normally, you know, I have to get myself prepared, I guess, like most people, to get in a plane, get in the air. But you know that you're going to be going through a storm. That's a whole nother process, Deborah. So then I said, okay, Lord, let me make sure I understood you right. He said, don't get on the plane. Well, I got that. That was it for me, Deborah.
Yes, you got that.
I got that. I got that. You know, so, okay. So I didn't fly out, and I did call Miss JJ and explain to her that, and she said, well, she understood, because they in Georgia, in their area, they just really, they didn't have any rain. They just had sunshine like nothing was happening on the other side of the world. But the storm came up through Charleston and Myrtle Beach and wreaked havoc there, but not as bad as it was in Florida. But, you know, someone says, well, you know, what they got there. Well, they may have gotten there, but me being on there and being disobedient, you see what I'm saying, could have caused a different result.
Right.
Because I said, don't do it, and I did it, then that opened Satan up to do anything with me on there. And God said, well, I told you not to do it. See, that's why we have to listen. I have to listen. So I have my clothes and everything packed. Now I got to hang up all these clothes again.
All those clothes. Yeah, that much.
Now I got them all folded up, you know, packed up, ready to go. I said, Lord, now I got to go back and hang them all back up again. But, you know, it's okay. It's all good. I'll do that sometime today. But anyway, today, Deborah, you know, God wants us to talk about mothers and daughters. Are you resting in the Lord? And what that means. Are you resting in the Lord? So I'm going to go in and do the piece that the Holy Spirit put on my heart, and then I'll come back and get you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, darling.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers and daughters. First, I want to say that if you're sitting in your house today, and if you can drive your car today, you got food to eat, and you're looking at your stuff. That's why we can't put a lot of value on stuff, but it is our stuff, and it is all that we have here on earth that connects to us. So it is important. You need to get on your knees and praise the Lord. And while you're down there, ask him to bless each and every person that don't have their stuff today, don't have their house today, don't have a car to drive today, when 2 days ago they had these things that they operated out of. Because tomorrow it can be you or I in that situation. Don't think that we have escaped and, oh, we so good and, oh, we prayed the storm away. And don't think you've done something that made it so great for you. It's just the grace of God that it wasn't your day. And you need to give him thanks because it could have been us. And we need to all just fast and pray for quick recovery, restoration for the cities that was devastated. Okay. Our topic today is mothers and daughters, are you resting in the Lord? Now, this topic came to me through a couple studies that I was doing. You know, we run around and we get busy and we get so engrossed into what we're doing, the time frame in which we're doing it in, the outcome in which we want to happen. What, how we want it to happen, where we want it to happen, where we want it to happen, with whom we want it to happen, and for whom we want it to happen. We design the whole thing out in our heads. Now, sometimes the ideas that we create, and sometimes they are assignments from God. And sometimes you wonder, is this an assignment from God or is this an assignment that I created in my mind from looking at television or seeing what somebody else is doing and thinking, oh, I can do that. I can do that, but what I'll do, I'll change it. I'll twist it around. If they're making money off of it, I can do it this way and I can make money off of it, but it wasn't your assignment, so you're just trying to tweak somebody else's assignment and create an assignment for yourself. Are you on the job And as the kids would say, you're doing the mostest. You know, you're so busy trying to make things happen. You want people to see you. Look at her. She's really good at that. Oh, my God. We can always depend on her. Just going and doing and going early, staying late, skipping lunch. Just want to impress people. Doing the most. Doing the most. In the church. Doing the most. I'm not saying you can't do a good job. I'm not saying you can't help people in the church. I'm looking at the intent behind it. That's the key right there. What is the intent? Are you trying to impress the preacher? Are you trying to impress the congregation? Are you trying to hold on to that position in the church or that position on your job, that position with your friends, that position in your community? So you do the most and you wear yourself out. By the time you get home into your own space, you're sitting on the chair looking at the walls because you're tired. Why are you tired? Because you're working. You're working. When you do things from your heart, and that's a sign to you, when you come home, you still got energy because it's like you're not working. If your body is worn down from a day's work, you're doing too much. Too much for the wrong reason. Because you're working your mind and you're working your body against what's not really intended to be the way that you're doing it. You're thinking, I got to get this done. If I don't get this, it won't get done. But God always sends people out by twos. It's never just one. So put the am to the I. Now you got two things going, two people. You got the I and the I and the I am. I am resting in the Lord. Lord, this is going to get done. And I know it sounds crazy. When you think about it like that, you're thinking, well, Dr. Fletcher, if I sit back and say, I'm just going to rest in the Lord and it's going to get done, it'll be there tomorrow, next week, next month, and nobody will do anything about it. That's because you're thinking from the I, the you part of the I. But if you rest in the Lord, it's already done. See, that's why he said it is finished. There's nothing for us to do but rest in him. Whatever he's asking you to do is simply let me use your body to manifest this assignment in the earth. I've already completed the assignment, Bessie. I just need your body to manifest it in the physical. I don't need you to create anything. We are not here to create anything. When you get that, we're not here to create anything. We are here so God can do his creations through us on the earth. His creations, his thoughts, his will. When you get that, you can rest. You can rest. And whatever it is that he's asked you to do. Now, if you're doing something that you created, you think in your mind you created it, because the enemy is going to try to make you think you just as good as God. Well, if God created, he said you made in his image, then you can create. But But Jesus never told us we could create anything. He said, these things I do, and you can do even greater things. So most times people think, oh, God did that, Jesus did this, and so he said, I could create even greater things. Because he knows the world is progressing. It's evolving. And as it grows, it's going to surpass what he's doing in that time period, because we're in a different time period. But think about it. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I say what he tells me to say. He never said, I created anything. I only do what the Father tells me to do, and I only say what the Father tells me to say. So he was following the creation of God. He did not step out of what God had already predestined for him to do. Even to the cross, he knew it was his hour. He said, my hour has come. He didn't create that hour. He was flowing in the will of God. And even hanging on the cross, he said, he cried out and asked God, why would you don't forsake me? I've done all that you told me to do. I'm following your instructions. But I'm not feeling you right now. Where are you? I know you have a plan for this right here on this cross. I know you have a plan. What happened next? And when he got his answer, he said, not my will, but your will be done. Because God has showed him what the next step was. Your will be done. And he gave up the ghost. Because it was the Father's will. Now it's time for you to transcend your spirit back into me. Because he rests. When he decided to rest, he dropped his head and rest. And the will of the Father transcended. So now, you see, but that was Jesus. But I say, Jesus was a son. He was a man on the earth. He walked the earth. He went through his assignment. He followed the instructions. That's the difference between Jesus and us. He followed the instructions. He sought out the Lord. He rested in the Lord. That was the purpose of the 40 days and the 40 nights. No food. And just imagine you as a human going 40 days, no water, no food. Just to hear and to prepare your mind and body for what God wants you to do. We can't even go 3 hours without something to eat. Just say you're fasting for the day. People will call you, invite you to lunch. Somebody will come by your desk and bring you something. Girl, I was thinking about you, and I thought, let me just take you a plate. Or I thought about you. I know you like to eat sweet, so I just decided, let me just drop this off and give you one. I bought me one. Got some coffee, too. You want to say, I'm fasting, but he said when you're fasting, you're supposed to do it in secret. So you just say thank you and go, well, you ain't going to eat it. You know, see, this is the enemy to keep you from doing 3 hours of fasting, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. That's not the greater thing that we have done. But the greater thing that he's talking about is the progression of the will of the Father. That we can do and with our bodies when he comes through us and give us the assignment. Bessie, I want you to create the matriarch now on the earth. Now, if I took that and says, okay, I've got to do this, which I literally almost, I did, not almost, I did. I took it and I was just busy bee, trying to make it happen, And this week in my studies, the last couple of days, I was all in the way. All he wanted me to do was say, yes, I will take the assignment, give him permission to use my body. And then I rest in him and he will do the work through me. To other humans, it looks like I'm doing the work. But if you are in God and God is in you, you know who's doing the work. You know the creative thoughts and gestures and things that is coming together. That is not you. That's why I constantly say, the Holy Spirit showed me that. Or the Holy Spirit told me that. Or God said so and so. I will tell you, because I know in my spirit, I'm not that clever. And I know the conversations that we have. And I'm like, oh my God, some so deep I can't even tell anybody. I'm so deep I don't even understand it because I don't get all of it. I just get enough just to get a little preview, and you don't know. That's how you got to rest in him so he can say, okay, I gave you the preview. So you can rest in me and allow me, my will, thy kingdom come, the kingdom come into you. Thy will be done. The will be done through you. Jesus said, thy kingdom come. When you see me, you see the kingdom. Come on now, let's get this. When you see me, you see the kingdom. And the next thing he says, what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if the will of God is to be done on earth, it has to be done through us. These bodies don't belong to us. They belong to God so that his will can be done on earth as he has it in his head and his mind in heaven. So that's why Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. He didn't go out there creating something and trying to make something happen. He followed the instructions. And everybody that came to Jesus to be healed or for any request, he got permission from God before it was done. Now, he's not a man that will lie. And he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So he can't just come up and heal you. People think, well, this is Jesus. He can heal. No, he has to listen to the Father. The Father will move him in the place that he's supposed to be. The Father will tell him what to say. And that's why I believe he spoke more in parables, because it's supposed to reach a broader amount of people. If you speak directly to me, then you're giving me a message just for me. But when he speaks in parables, everybody hears it and everybody interprets it according to where they are in their mind, body, and soul, and in the spirit. So everybody's going to get a different message. That's why people fight over the Bible. That's why people fight over land and possessions and other human beings, because of their interpretation of words. People in graves right now because of their interpretation of words. People in jail right now, in prisons right now. People not speaking right now because their interpretation of words, the way that they interpret it and what it meant, is the way their body responds to it. And if a person get angry over the words and those words keep going on and on and on in their head, then it creates an intra conversation that will keep talking to you until you react. Sometimes you want to walk away and you say, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm going to let that go. You walk away, go to your office, close your door, trying to do your work. And that conversation keep talking. See, the enemy done plant the seed. Now he's going to water it. You going to let her get by with that? Let her talk to you like that? Every time you turn around, somebody talking down to you. You just going to let people just walk on you? Just tell you anything? You hear him out there laughing? Now, people laughing about something totally different. Something happened on television last night, but you hear him laughing. You hear him laughing out there? They laughing at you. Fueling you up. Getting you ready. And by the time your generator gets balled over and heat start coming out, he strike a match and boom, you go out and do what you do, curse them out, start fighting, shooting, whatever. That's how people get killed. People are listening to words that are planted in their heads. So busy trying to fix something instead of resting in the Lord. When you're resting in the Lord, mothers and daughters, and people or someone says something to you, yes, it can hurt your feelings because that's the human part of you. But the spiritual part of you will sit and pray and ask God to fix it and bless the people that said what they say. Just send them love and blessings. Call the name out. I send you love and blessings. And Father God, I just ask that peace come upon them and me. Take you a couple deep breaths and say, you know what? Not my battle. It's yours, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to let you handle that. But when you have that kind of relationship with God, you can do that and go on and not even think about that person ever again. That's not easy to get there. That takes a lot of conversation with God. I thank God I'm there now. I remember the day I wouldn't have walked away. We'd have been going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you're never perfect at it. I catch myself now. Every once in a while, every once in a blue, I have to say, oh, no, because you feel it. You know it's coming up. We always going to be tempted. But I thank God I'm better today than I was yesterday and the days before. I thank God for that. I thank God I pray for everybody that I think that might be an enemy. I pray for them, and I pray and ask God to bless them, to bless them, and I send them love, because it's not about them. It's about me being in right standing with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not caring about what they think. I'm caring about what God thinks. I get judged according to my thoughts, my actions. And so with that, I'm like, let me work on me. And if we all work on ourselves and if we all take the time to rest in God. Now, what is resting in God? Resting in God is just not saying I'm going to rest in God. It's not repeating a bunch of Bible verses and being impressive that you know a Bible verse. I'd rather read the Bible verse every time because he said, put your eyes on my word and meditate on it. Because sometimes when we think we know the Bible verse, we will misquote it. One word and that's not from God. You add one word or take one away, you change it. It changed the whole meaning. But to rest in God, it's just television off, phone off, no communication with anybody but God, and just be still and listen. What is your will, Father? What is it that you want to do through me? Teach me how to rest. You're resting in his, in the knowing that he is God. You're resting in knowing that he's faithful, that he loves you, that he will protect you. You're resting in your faith in God. That's how you rest in God. Just by simply believing what he says and doing what he asked you to do. Jesus rests in the Father. He rests. But there was one time the human part kind of showed up. It's when he saw them using the name of God to swindle money out of people. And they were doing it in the temple. It's not another time in the Bible that I've read or heard that a human part of Jesus reacted. Or was it human? It could have been. He said, I only do what the Father told me to do. The Father probably told him, go in there and tear it up. You know, God don't play. If you read Genesis and Exodus and all that, you know God don't play. He'll open up a hole and drop you right on in it. So he told him to do it. So God will tell you what to do. We just got to rest in him to allow him to work through us. And it may not look like what you think it should look like. But if you know that 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 you're listening to God, it's going to be what God wants to do. So my advice is to spend more time with God, more time meditating, and allowing him to use the body that he created for his good pleasure. Deborah?
Wow. I tell you, I was so into what you were saying that I wasn't even making notes. And then I said, oh, geez. Yeah, then I said, so I got something. You know, I got something. But I was so into what you were saying about, you know, learning to rest in God. And I tell you, what came to mind was, you know, we go to God and we ask God for help. And then we don't sit and rest and wait on the help. It's like when you call 911, you have to sit and rest and wait on them to get to you. They coming. They en route. They heard your complaint. They heard your concern. They heard your emergency, you know, and they en route. And sometimes I have been guilty of trying to call back because it ain't happened yet, God. I'm here again with my emergency. In my mind, it's the emergency. And God is saying, emerge and see the goodness of the Lord. Sit and wait. I heard you the first time, Debbie. I see you. I know before the beginning of your life. Just keep it right there. I already knew, I already know the end before the beginning. I'm working backwards. I'm coming to you. I heard your call. You came through. The dispatch gave me the message. I got the code. I'm on the way. It's working. Be patient and know that I am able to do. He said, but I need you to rest and be assured that my word will not return unto me void. It would accomplish what I set out to accomplish. It would hit the target, in other words. I set it out. It's en route to answer prayer to your economic situation, to your medical situation, to whatever you can put in the blank situation. God says, I heard you. He said, but I need you to have faith and believe, because without faith, it's impossible to please me. Sometimes we get in a position where we gotta wait and lose faith. We go to talking about if we ain't in that spiritual realm where we know that all things work together. So while we waiting on God, there'd be some other stuff going on that ain't looking so pretty. And so we start losing faith. We start getting weary and well-doing, and we start fighting. And God is saying, hey, you like that ocean. You like those waves. They ain't smooth. They up and down, high tide, low tide. They just moving all over. He said, you can't be wishy-washy like that. He said, you got to believe that I'm able. He said, it's like asking a father. Go to a kid, go to the father. Say, father, can you lift me up, or can you do? The kid already know 9 out of 10 that the father can do the thing that she's asking the father. But there's times when the father's saying, not right now. I'm not going to lift you up and throw you around and play, you know, or not right now. He might break it down, and not right now. And the kids say, okay, Father. And they go back and they rest and wait on when Papa can do that thing. God is saying, I want you to be like that child. I want you to have patience and have faith and believe that I'm able to do it, because I ain't doing it right now. I don't work for you. You work for me. I'm God. You don't get to tell me when, how, what to do, who to do it with. I'm God. I'm saving you probably from you. You don't even know what's ahead of it. He said, just rest and know that I got your best interest, Deborah. I got your best interest. If you could just sit and rest and know and not be moved by the ocean and the waves and the things that's happening and the news and the newspaper and the online and everything that come and bombard us every day and take our thoughts from believing to maybe God ain't going to do it. Being a pessimist instead of an optimist in the spirit. God is saying, just, in other words, let me break it down to you. Chill. I got you. Just, do I need to put you on timeout? Do I need to sit you down somewhere? Because you're in my way now. You're in my way. You're not, you be in the kitchen and and then the kids and whoever, it could be even me. All them people wait time, they trying to cut up and use the counter and turn around and you right there and spin around and you right there. Hey, just go sit down. The food ain't ready. You're in my way. Can you just sit there? Or can you work while you wait? Can you make the table? Can you set that for me while I cook the meal? Can you just go find something to do while you wait? He said, I know what I'm doing. I got my timing. How long I'm going to let this stay in the oven? How long I'm going to let this bake? How long I'm going to cook this here? I got my timing. How long I'm going to make it happen? But you don't know all that. He said, so trust me. I got this. Just go sit and wait. Find some, occupy your time. Find somebody that you can go and encourage. With. I noticed when I encourage some other people, I forget that I was waiting on God and my problem, because it takes me out myself when I find something else to do to help somebody else. So I find when I'm resting, I'm working. So he said, don't go and don't do nothing. Make use of, because you ain't got time to think about your problem and you're helping somebody else with their problem. You forget. Like when I have a pain, I say, God, oh, this neck of mine or this what? And I just start praising him. And next thing I know, I forgot I was even hurt because I'm so into praising him. Just tell him how good he is. How I thank him for all the other times he delivered me from pain in the body and then half the time, truth be told, probably something I didn't set in motion with some sugar or not eating right, truth be told, right? You know?
Mm.
And so God is saying, hey, I'm trying to clean up your mess. Nobody tell you to gain all that weight. Nobody tell you to be eating stuff and glutton and cake. Now look at you. Can't even run down the block without breathing hard. I'm just saying. God said, hey, go over there and minister to somebody that's less fortunate than you. Go over there, come out of yourself, go over there, and while you resting and waiting on me to do what I do best is deliver, perform, and make a way and close a door and open up another door. Why I do what I do? Can you go make the Kool-Aid or something? Can you go to your neighbor? Can you go to somebody else while you resting? In other words, and find something to do that will bless somebody else. Because there's some old, like you said earlier, there's some people that are in some worse shape. Then we can't even, at this point, with all this going on with the hurricane, we got some people that we wouldn't dare mumble a word about how we feel. If you got an acre or your car got hit or just something. I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it can be a minute or a minor situation. That's like complaining to somebody, your feet hurting, and they sit down because they ain't got no feet. And you talking about, oh, they still praise, oh, my feet hurt. It's a long song, it's a long verse. You'll start the song over, you know, get all in the, we'll be praising God, but you complain about how long you standing to a person that ain't got no feet. They sitting because they can't stand. And God said, be mindful. Be mindful. He said, so while you waiting on me, find something to get in the tube. While you waiting on me, find somebody else to help, you know, if ain't but a kind word. Like when I get off the call, I got to call somebody. I find out I had a head-on collision accident, you know. And they say, my grace God, she ain't got no broken bones, but I wonder why I haven't heard from her. So I say, I think sure I'm going to call her. And just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And God is saying, hey, why are you resting? Are you? Just find something to get into. Find something to help somebody out. You know, trust me, I got this. God said, trust me, I got this. Go on and rest. In a sense, both of us up worrying. So if you're going to worry, why pray? Pray and don't worry. Which one are you going to do? You going to pray or you going to worry? He said, if you pray, why worry? He said, go on and get some rest. I'm up. I got this. But if you're going to be up worrying, I'm going to go to sleep. In other words, I'm all right. I'm all rest. So God is telling me, Deborah, whatever you got going on, there's some people that got some situation, double the trouble, double the concern, double the problem. And for me to be able to encourage somebody, even if it's in the grocery store, there's times I'm in the grocery store, the line long. And, you know, sometimes people forget their PIN number because it happens. Sometimes they got insufficient funds because it happens. I done been at the top of the line. I done had a line up with the wrong PIN number because I try to outsmart myself with all these different PIN numbers. And I get up there and I remember what PIN go with what card. And so I'm holding the line up. And he said, be patient with people. Be patient with people. Like you ain't never did nothing that would rub nobody wrong. Be patient with people. They don't change on your timetable. Be patient with them. While working on your issue, you go and help somebody else in an area that you might overcame. You help somebody, tell them how you overcame. Go testify while you rest and wait on me. Go encourage somebody. Tell them how you came out of it while you waiting on me to work on the next problem. Talk about what I already did for you with somebody else. Why are you resting? I'm just saying. And I told you I didn't have all that, but I said, Lord, as I open your goal, because I was so into what you were saying about me. And so, you know, and I did get some notes. But, yeah, I'm saying, hey, I got this. I got this, Deborah. I don't need you. Just in my way. Get on out of the kitchen. Now. Get, go sit. You don't know how to cook anyway. Go sit down somewhere. And just find something to do. I don't know my grandma. Just get on over yonder somewhere. And go pick some tomatoes or something. Something, you know, go cut the potatoes. Just help me prep. Just don't be in my way. Just go find something to do to help somebody in the spirit.
and help you learn how to rest while you rest.
Amen.
It's always somebody you can help.
Yeah. That's it right there, Deborah. I'm glad you didn't have a word. We would have missed that word.
We missed the word.
Yeah, that was a word from the Lord. That's why I say I love it when I get up on Saturday mornings. I don't even have to think about it. My alarm clock go off. I got an 8 o'clock alarm. That's my wake up and okay, Lord, what you want to talk about? And just in case if I snooze off, I got an 8:30 alarm that comes on. And I check back again. Okay, Lord, we still waiting. No, okay, what are we talking about? You know, I play those games on Saturday morning. And then I have my 9 o'clock alarm. And when that 9 o'clock go off, if I'm not up, you know, you got to be up hustling then. And I'll just say, okay. So I do everything. I'll put everything together on this dashboard except for the topic, whatever the title of the show is going to be. You know, I'll just do everything around it until he speaks. And, you know, this morning I was like, you know, I just feel like resting because it rained here and we had winds all last night and it's still raining and I don't think the winds is as high, but I said, you know what, I think I just want to rest. I was going to use that to say, I want to rest in you today, Father. And a spirit was saying to me, so you're not going to preach this morning? yes, sir. You know, what greater way to rest in me than to preach my word? Got my little hip up and got on up, came in here and got on this computer. You know, because I know I'm just being lazy. Just you know, feeling a little lazy, feeling a little self-pity, a little sadness for the world, you know, just had a, and there again, I'm trying to do something, you know what I mean, within my own spirit, when there's nothing I can do but trust God, and God got them, they're his people, he will restore them with even more, even now, God is the one that can restore them, like he did Job, 10 times more than you have now. And then erase this from your mind that you are the naughty, but remember it. So those are things that we can't do unless God tell us he want to work through us to do. But anyway, this is a good show, Deborah. I'm glad I got up. I'm glad I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm glad you were on here to share your part. I got blessed from you. I had my hands up, and I could feel the glory of the Lord as you were speaking. I just felt it just tingling in my fingers as my hands was up. And I was like, Lord, thank you. I mean, you just blessed me. And that's what I like, mothers and daughters, about this team that God has put together, me, that's in Deborah. And, you know, we come on and we really allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. This is not something that we just throwing together. We're not trying to be the hip-hop, the best known podcast, you know, a lot of, you know, gimmicks around stuff and marketing. No, we do it unto the Lord, and it's his product when we finish. We can do what he want to do with it. So I thank you, Deborah. Absolutely been a great show.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yeah, I was blessed. I was blessed from your word. Blessed. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, Deborah, great show.
Amen. Well, bye, all. Yeah. Love you.
All right, and you get you some rest in the Lord today, because that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
To God's glory. All right. Amen. Bye, audience. We'll see you next week, mothers and daughters. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you. Love you. Bye-bye.
Me too.